Alabama readers may know Alan Bera best for his comprehensive, definitive biography of Paul Bear Bryant, The Last Coach. Nevertheless, baseball may be the sport closest to his heart. Bera grew up watching the Barons at Rickwood Field in his native Birmingham, but had already fallen in love with the sport when in 1961 his father took him to Yankee Stadium for his first ball game, an exhibition game between Mays and the Giants and Mantle and the Yankees. This unusual dual biography of Mays and Mantle seems more natural as one reads and learns. Both were born in 1931 in poor families. Both fathers were workers, Willie's in the mills and Mickey's in the mines, and both pushed their sons to excel in baseball from the crib up, quote, with single-mindedness, end quote. Mays lived in a shotgun house. Mantle's house lacked electricity. Growing up, Mantle enjoyed a solid extended family, while Mays was raised by a collection of aunts and neighborhood girls. Both men were gifted athletes, of course, in football and basketball also, and were about the same size and weight. Mantle was from Oklahoma, while Mays was from Alabama. But, Barrett tells us, Mickey regarded himself as a Southerner and often said so. Mays was black and Mantle white, but both, we learn, were relatively unconcerned with race. Mantle, perhaps, because there were few blacks in Commerce, Oklahoma, and Mays, surprisingly, because the black, blue-collar community of Westfield, near Fairfield, was peaceful and secure. Unlike Jackie Robinson, who publicly chided Mays, Willie never got involved with the civil rights movement. On two separate occasions, Mays stormed out of interviews with Barra when the subject was raised. Both men were hard to know, and neither was a comfortable public speaker. But Mantle was the more public figure. A heavy drinker and lifetime partier, Mantle was often out in the clubs. Mays had no vices and is known to have had only two drinks in his entire lifetime, one as a teen and one of champagne when the Giants won the World Series in 1954. Both men handled money and fame poorly and made less than stellar husbands and fathers, especially Mantle. In fact, Barra remarks that both men, who kept their diminutive boyhood names all their lives, remained, in many ways, boys. Like any sports biography, this book, which alternates page by page between the two men, is mainly about the game. Mays and Mantle were the two best players of their era, with World Series rings, most valuable player awards, batting titles, home run titles, all-star picks nearly every year. Both players were idolized, of course, but received some boos over the years. Mantle, unfairly, because he was a 4F during the Korean conflict and falsely labeled a draft dodger, he had osteomyelitis in one ankle, and Mays in San Francisco because he wasn't Joe DiMaggio. Again, not fair. Because the sport is baseball, statistics are especially important, and real baseball fans will appreciate Barra's careful, thorough work best. One learns a great many facts about the two men, but they both finally seem to elude the biographer, as they had eluded many a sports writer over the years. Perhaps Roger Kahn, author of The Boys of Summer, best described this pair, whose careers moved so much in parallel. Quote, "I believe they knew each other better than anyone else knew them," end quote.